A quick follow-up on Max Homa.
The Max Homa update you didn't know you needed.
He wasn't exempt, or he didn't have a guaranteed spot in the U.S. Open, so he had to qualify, which we talked about last segment.
Yeah.
Apparently, he fired his caddy after the Memorial, and so he did not have a caddy for this, and he carried his own bag.
I saw him carrying his own bag, and I almost wondered, are you not allowed a caddy in this, or why would that be the case? He fired it and didn't get a new one, huh?
Yeah, he didn't get a new one.
You're telling me that he couldn't just go through and find, even if
he could have.
At the very minimum, just someone to carry your bag?
He could have. I think those guys are just, like, he's Max Homa. He's like, oh, all right, I'm just going to go.
But wouldn't you rather not lug your bag around for 36 holes?
Yeah.
Even if you're not going to get any advice.
That's why I was saying, like, even if... like,
just shut up and carry this.
Dude, Matt, if I had been around that course drinking, and Max Homa would be like, hey, big fella, you want to be on my... I've been like, dude, I can offer you nothing. He goes, just carry my bag.
I'll give you a lift, man. And he's like, okay.
I'm like, all right, man, I'll carry that sucker around. Dude, that'd be awesome. That's like my dream, is to just be bumming around a golf course somewhere, and some pro comes up, and is like, hey, you... carry my bag for 18? Yes, I do.
Yeah, so he said that...
dude, Max Homa just became my favorite golfer.
Yeah, well, he's great. I don't know if you know much about him.
Yeah, he's got a really good personality.
He's a great dude.
Yeah.
And funny. But he missed a six-footer on 18 to qualify.
Oh.
And then he got into that playoff and lost to Cam Young. So maybe if he had a caddy, he would have been... maybe if you were down there reading that putt for him.
Well, at least he wouldn't have been as tired. I mean, like, lugging your bag around can't be, because that's a big stat bag.
He was probably fatigued on the 36th green.
Yeah, that's not a little, I'm assuming maybe he does go to the carry bag at that point, but.
Well, in his game is, he's been kind of a mess.
Yeah.
He went down to the doldrums, and then he kind of came back, and he's showing signs, and now he's fired his caddy, and he's, I don't know, he's got a lot going on up there in that. I think he said, I just wanted to walk by myself.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, I don't know why I looked up Max Homa's wife, and Max Homa's doing great.
Yeah. Maybe he has a couple kids by now.
Because he's a handsome fella.
They just had their first.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, year two.
I like me some Max Homa.
Yeah, he's a guy you want to root for.
But I will not be rooting for him at the U.S. Open because, well, he won't be in the U.S. Open.
So, Kenny Dillingham had to come out. He is the coach at Arizona State, by the way.
Who?
Football.
Can I say that he's on the verge of becoming unlikable for me right now? Like, he went into the season, I think, for like high on my list of likable coaches. It's taken a real downward swing lately. He's got fat, angry frat kid vibes.
Well, he's very high T.
Yeah, it's starting to go the wrong way.
So in a recent interview with Kenny Dillingham, On Three's Pete Nakos asked the coach about potentially being hired away from Arizona State. But Dillingham's answer, he said, you can build something very, very unique here. Every 10 years, a team shows up on the map and they're a blue blood to the next generation. They're not a blue blood to the people my age, but they're a blue blood to the 10-year-olds, the 11-year-olds, the 12-year-olds, who you eventually are going to recruit.
Sure.
Dillingham spoke about his hopes to emulate the trajectory of a program like Clemson or Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you have Clemson this last cycle from 2010 to 2020. They just showed up. People think they've been around forever. You have Oregon from 2000 to 2010. You can go back in history and figure out which teams have shown up in which era. There hasn't been a team in this era in the 2020s. The lifestyle you have in Arizona, if we can create some staff consistency and then we're in a league where we can continually compete to win, you never know. So he had to come out and... he had to sort of clarify that because a lot of people were like, dude, you're not Oregon.
Yeah.
You're not Clemson.
No. By the way, but Clemson won a national championship in the 80s, just saying.
Yeah. Well, that's true. I mean, that they are kind of a blue blood.
Yeah. They had a dip. They kind of went away for a little bit, and then they were kind of, you know, they were like milling around. It's like a Virginia Tech over the next like 6 or 7 years rose up and started playing for national titles again. You wouldn't say that Virginia Tech came out of nowhere. You would say they were really good. They had a down spell and then they rose back up.
It's a dadgum mistake.
You get his point.
Yes.
I mean,
there's some validity to what he's saying.
Look, I can build it here.
Yes.
And that's exactly what Dan Lanning said at Oregon. He's like, I got everything I need right here.
Yes.
So he had to kind of walk that back. He came out and he said, of course I should believe we can build something. So should every coach of a program. We are a long way away from Oregon and Clemson, but the context was about why I want to be at Arizona State for the long haul. So he didn't have to do that, but he thought he did.
Yeah.
So my question, though, I think he raises an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the next, if you have to pick one or two programs to be the next, the arrival of the 2020 era, you know, he calls them blue bloods. I mean, you're not, like Oregon's not a blue blood.
No.
But it is it's one of the top programs
yes.
now.
Yeah.
And I think those are two different things, but I think what he's saying is
a new blood, if you will.
A new blood. Yeah, exactly. Like, who are the new bloods going to be? Would you bet on Arizona State?
No, I would not. They don't have They don't have the resources to do it.
Would Miami be considered one of these?
No, Miami is one of the
traditional blue blood.
I mean, my God, Miami is one of the six most successful college football programs of all time. It's the U. To me, the if you're going, there's two ways of thinking in this. The SEC and the Big Ten are going to be just dominant forces. But anyone that I think is going to be really good in those conferences is already really good. So even though they have the influx of cash, like Illinois is not rising up, right? Indiana, like it's going to be so hard, even with the money, to rise up in those conferences, because it's just, I mean, think about who you're playing every year. Think about who you have to go through to get to that point. So, and by the way, UW or USC or someone like that, I wouldn't even say that they would be considered an out of nowhere. But I mean, to rise up, USC could get back, UW could get back. I think in the SEC, I guess A&M, who's never really done anything, you can make the argument A&M. Kentucky has knocked on the door a little bit, but I think if you're to where he's coming from, I think you need to look to the Big 12 or the ACC, and the one that jumps to mind is SMU. If I had to pick one team that if I'm saying in the next 7 years would be like, oh my God, like they are playing for a national title, it'd be SMU.
What about BYU?
BYU is a long shot. I think BYU in all sports now, because the one thing the Mormons have is money and they're willing to spend it now. And you see them, they are a player in big time recruiting now. And they have a big legion of fans. I still think ultimately you're going to be limited in who you can recruit because of the honor code. BYU is going to be a player. They're not going to be a national power. That's just, they're playing with one hand tied behind their back with the religious thing, which is why I say SMU. SMU plays in a conference that you can win. It's not a meat grinder. They're in the ACC. They made the playoff last year. They have all the money they could want in the world. They have the influence. They're in a major market. There should be no shortage of recruits coming their way. SMU is the one to me that if I had to bet on the next program to rise up and really stake their claim to something, I'm going with the Mustangs.
You know, another one could be Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Because
I thought about them, their new $4.1 billion donor.
Yep. Oil money.
Yep.
And they got a pretty good coach. That guy they got now is doing a good job down there.
But when you look at ASU, they don't have great fan support. They don't have, it's not like it's just an influx of cash. The only reason we think ASU is a sleeping giant is because it's a nice campus and there's pretty girls and it's warm weather. But how many times can we be fooled by Arizona State? And you can win there. I mean, they've been to a Rose Bowl and, you know, they've had good programs and they've had coaches that have done a nice job there. But in order to get somewhere like that and stay there, you have to have such massive commitments to infrastructure, to NIL, and to keeping recruits, and more importantly, to keeping coaches. And if you're Kenny Dillingham, and let's say, you know, Dillingham is like, no, dude, I'm not going anywhere. I'm 10 toes down. I'm ASU for life. What happens when I just come and keep taking your coordinators because I'll pay him $1.5 million? I just don't think that ASU realistically has, and their TV deal sucks, right? I mean, it's the Big 12. It's $30 million a year. So you're getting doubled up by the SEC and the Big 10. I mean, the only argument you can make is that there's accessibility there to the playoff because you play in the Big 12, and that's fine. And I guess, but is arriving making the playoffs? Is that a thing? Like, if you make the playoffs, like, is that like arriving, or do you actually have to get there and win something?
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Well, I mean, Oregon, he brought up Oregon as an example, and they hadn't won a title.
No, but Oregon's played for two, and Oregon has been consistently good for 25 years. And what's the one thing Oregon has? Oregon has dumped billions of dollars into that program. So until Arizona State, like you brought up the Texas Tech guy, it's that. If you want to know who's going to rise up.
Who's going to open the wallets.
Exactly. That's all
SMU,
it is.
SMU, Texas Tech.
Yes.
BYU, but you meant good point about the honor code.
The honor code will put a pause
and
on
Arizona
that.
Arizona State doesn't really have that.
I don't think so. If BYU could get rid of the no sex, no drinking thing, which isn't going to happen.
Which they should.
Well, yeah.
I mean, come on.
But it's not going to. But if, you know, back in the day, you know, we kind of looked the other way at that a little bit, you know, from time to time. And maybe we're going to, you know, do that again. I do think that BYU is going to be, I think the way Utah has been the last, well, let's say like 8 years under Whittingham, I think BYU can get to that. But I don't think BYU could ever get to where Oregon or one of those other schools.
About Louisville? Are they?
It's possible.
Because they're pretty rich.
Yeah, they got
some money behind
that. They got some money behind that.
Papa John.
Yep. Because I just think it's going to be hard to come from the SEC or the Big Ten. So you're really going to have to mine those ACC and Big 12 teams. That's not a bad one. Like that's kind of sneaky good. And Louisville, by the way, has. I mean, there's
been, North Carolina.
They've had some success. Yeah, Carolina with Bill. And that's what they always say. Like whenever we talk about like teams getting pilfered, the one that everyone wants is North Carolina. They say North Carolina is more attractive than like Florida State. Cause it's not like I'm looking through, it won't be Pitt. It's not Duke. Georgia Tech is the furthest thing from that because of their academic standards. You heard Virginia. You always get told that Virginia is a sleeping giant, but wake me when they do something.
Well, they did it in basketball.
They did it in basketball, but that's not football. It's a lot easier to turn a basketball program around than it is a football team.
Yeah, you just don't need the depth of personnel to do it.
No, and it doesn't cost nearly as much money. So I just don't. Yeah, I just don't know where those come from in the ACC, like Boston College and places like that.
Well, you mentioned it. SMU
SMU
is the main one,
and then you look through like the Big 12. Arizona, no. ASU, maybe. Baylor, no. Cincinnati, no. Colorado, no. Iowa State, no.
Colorado, no?
Nah. No, they don't.
They got a lot of money there.
Not as much as you think. I mean, they've struggled just with commitment, and it's a small place, and there's just I don't buy Colorado at all. You know what's a sneaky one is Kansas. Kansas has...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Kansas is the definition of a blue blood. They're spending money. They're renovating their football stadium. They paid to keep their coach. Again, they're in a winnable conference. If we're going through, Kansas has the makings of that. The problem with Kansas, and you've talked about it, no one wants to be affiliated with the big money guys for football. They all want to be part of basketball. So you got to convince the rich dudes to get on board the football train. But Kansas, I think Kansas more than a lot of those other ones. You know, it's just there's
rock
just,
chalk, baby.
Yeah, rock chalk. So maybe, I guess maybe to his point of Kenny Dillingham, if someone's going to rise up in the Big 12, I still say it's SMU, and I don't think it's close.
Well, they're in the ACC.
Excuse me, in the ACC. But of the ACC and the Big 12, you could make a case if we're going Big 12 teams, BYU, Arizona State, and Kansas, maybe, you
Utah?
know, in some order. Yeah, I think Utah is already a solid program.
I just need a little money behind them.
They just need a little money behind it. And we got to figure out what's going to happen when Whittingham leaves, because he's going to be gone in a couple years. But I feel like Utah's kind of already, like, they're really good.
Did you say Utes?
But yeah, you know, yeah, maybe Utah Utes could take that next step, because they've come close, but have never really.
Well, didn't they have a succession plan, right?
Yeah, I think it's that defensive Morgan coordinator Scally guy.
Yeah, the racist guy?
That yeah,
guy.
Well, yeah, that's problematic, but.
We've forgotten about that?
Yeah.
Swept that under the rug?
Yeah, we kind of moved that.
Didn't they just, like, dock his pay? They're like, you're a little bit racist, so we got to take a little bit of money from
that's
you.
That's right.
Yeah. But he's fine now. He's back.
Yeah, so anyway.
But it feels like maybe they've lost a little, steam, whereas, you know, Arizona State's got a little bit. But again, it's only 1 year.
Yeah, the question was, Kenny Dillingham was talking about being at Clemson or Oregon. Like, every decade, there's a different team that rises up and becomes kind of a blue blood of that decade. Who would that be in this coming next, you know, 10 years or so?
Yeah.
And so that was the discussion there. But Oregon certainly is a good one. Oregon's probably the shining example of,
yes,
over the last 20 years,
yes,
a program that has risen to elite status that was not before.
It was Virginia Tech and then it was Oregon. They're the two. And Virginia Tech has fallen off. Oregon has not. Oregon came a little bit later, but yes, they have planted their flag, and it doesn't look like Oregon's going anywhere.
We got to give some love to Kansas State too, even though I hate to do that. Yeah, that was flags! The worst program in all of college football,
yes,
by a lot.
And they did it,
and Bill Snyder. And then TCU has done a really nice.
Yeah,
remember they didn't used to be a thing at all.
Nope,
and they have turned into a good little program.
Yes,
played for a title.
Played for a title. I just think there's the difference between. And that's where I think Utah is, or could be. I think you can become a good program. I think you can become a solid program. I kind of feel like a lot of places, that's your ceiling. And there's nothing wrong with that. It means that it's just really hard. You need a lot of infrastructure, a lot of luck. You just need a lot of things to really kind of go to the next level, which is why you get one maybe every, you know, 15 years.
All right, we'll check in on the college baseball tournament and an Angel Reese betting streak coming up next. But first, Buck.